Sharon Malloy, founder of Willow Counselling and Addiction Services in Athy, joins me now to chat a little bit about the work that they do down in Athy and maybe some of the gaps in funding as well for organisations like yourself. Sharon, thanks for coming in to us good morning. So tell us then about Willow and where the idea for Willow came about and how long you've been working in Athy.
Sure. So we established Willow in 2018 and it was exactly that. We identified the gaps in the availability of evidence-based counselling in the area. We do offer a free counselling service. I mean, if you look at the Pobble Deprivation Index, on the Deprivation Index, Athy is -33.41. So to put that into perspective, if you look at, say, Jobstown is similar, it's -37. So there's a huge deprivation issue in Athy that clearly needs to be addressed. And with deprivation, we know research always backs this up, comes addiction and mental health issues. So whilst we started primarily as an addiction service, because of the need, we do now work with mental health as well. So we're not solely addiction, which we were initially, which was in response to the need. 80% of our clients are word of mouth. So I think that's an indicator of how trusted we are within the community. But funding is, as you said earlier, funding is an issue. I mean, we receive $40,000 from the HSE. To run a full service, I mean, that's just not possible. You know, I think we're operating maybe 50% capacity to what we could do if we got proper funding. You know, we have a lovely new premises. We moved last year. The Methodist Church have been very good to us. They're our landlord, and they're a very supportive landlord. And so, you know, that's enabled us to move into the town, because before we were out by the Enterprise Centre, which is a little bit out. So we're right in Woodstock Street. We're in the middle of the town. And with the new premises, we can now offer yoga, reflexology. We have free auricular acupuncture on Tuesday afternoon. That's just a drop-in that anyone in the community is welcome to drop into. We're starting a coffee morning this morning at 11 o'clock, and again, that's open to everybody. We also do community reinforcement and family training, and that's for people who have a loved one in addiction. So, you know, we find that if we're working with someone who's in addiction, if the family then can, you know, maybe do the family training, and working with the two together, you know, it just makes the journey for both and the family as a whole, you know, more positive.
Just talk to me a little bit more about the funding issues that you've come up against, because we would have spoken to Labour Senator Mark Wall, who I know is on the board with Willow, and he raised the issues in Seanad Éireann as well. So how much are you receiving from the HSE, and how much do you feel as though you would need in order to meet the needs of those people in Athy and the surrounding areas?
Sure. Now, Mark has been a great advocate for us, you know, with the HSE. So it's not that the HSE aren't aware of our issues, and each year we put in our projected figures. I think our projected figures for 24 were 142,000 in order to incorporate everything, you know, that we have. And we still have only been, I think we've been allocated 40,000 this year. I mean, to run a full service, 40,000, I mean, it's just not possible. I mean, we try our best. Last year we had to close for 5 weeks. That has an impact, obviously, on our clients. We do get an extra 10,000 from the local property tax. But again, to offer a full service, it's so difficult.
So are you fully funded then by the HSE, or do you get funding as well maybe from the community? Because I know you were saying that there is a coffee morning that you're having as well this morning, getting underway at 11 o'clock. So is it not solely just from the HSE, but you rely sometimes on donations as well?
Yes, we do. But I mean, I have a bit of an issue with that. I mean, the community shouldn't have to pay for the trauma that is in the community. I mean, drug use is always, it's always the result of trauma. Long-term drug use is the result of childhood trauma. primarily. So why should the community, why should we have to rely on donations? The service is needed and it should be funded. I think it's very simple. I think it's very straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, the need is there, so that it should be funded adequately.
What difference would that funding make? You were saying to me off air that there's yourself and you've a part-time addiction counsellor as well. With the need for it within the community, I'm sure you could do with some more addiction counsellors, more services.
Absolutely.
To meet that demand.
Yeah, addiction counsellors, and then, you know, as I said, we deal a lot with trauma as well. So we are working for, you know, with mental health as well as addiction. Obviously, addiction is the result of mental health issues, generally childhood trauma. So, I mean, my other counsellor, Sybil, I mean, she does one day a week. That's all that we only have money for, one day a week. I do 4 days a week. But the way it's looking, we're going to have to take a break at some point later in the year because we just don't receive enough money. You know, it's not that the HSE don't know how much we need. I mean, probably, you know, if we had proper funding, well, then we could do a program that would incorporate, you know, reflexology, which has been proven to, you know, help people with mental health issues. We could incorporate yoga. You know, we've the space to do it. We could incorporate group therapy. We put in a proposal to do a cocaine recovery group and a crack cocaine recovery group. We were unsuccessful in our application. It would appear a lot of the money does go to North Kildare. I don't know, my experience with the thighs, we're kind of a little bit forgotten, let's say. Yeah, so if we had proper funding, we could do so much more. We have the premises, you know, we had funding from the KWETB, so now we have the yoga materials. We had funding from the LCDC, they helped us, so they furnished the premises, it's a lovely premises. We had funding from the National Lottery to do a sensory garden. So, you know, we have the funding to do everything, we just need the money to do what we have the facility to offer.
I'm sure you would see firsthand just how, I wouldn't use the word popular, but how much of a problem drugs have become. And, you know, people might say, well, we always had a drug issue here in this country. Mm-hmm. But is it just gone out of hand when it comes to cocaine, crack cocaine, etc.? It's nearly everywhere you turn.
Yeah, crack is a huge issue in Athy. It's very worrying, the increase in crack use. And then obviously cocaine is everywhere. I think cocaine is as normal as alcohol now. But again, you know, you need to look at the underlying cause. You know, why do people become dependent on drug use? And I think that's the piece that gets overlooked. You know, people, you know, and obviously about heroin users as well. And, you know, people don't wake up and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to become a drug user. There's a reason, and it's childhood trauma. It's physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. You know, trauma that has happened in childhood which has not been addressed. And it hasn't been addressed because the funding hasn't been there historically.
In terms then of people who go to get help from yourselves at Willow and seek those services and treatments, are they all referrals, or can people within the community contact you and say, I need help? Or again, are you saying, well, we'd love to do that, but unfortunately our hands are tight?
Yeah, no, 80% would be self-referral. You know, we're very approachable. And it's word of mouth. You know, maybe I'm working with Johnny and Johnny tells, I don't know, Jenny or whoever. And so it's all primarily word of mouth. Is anyone, you know, they just ring me. And then we do get referrals from the mental health services, you know, different organisations. And we would also refer people, you know, it's not just, you know, one has counselling, you know, they need other supports, and we're very aware of that. You know, so we try and work with, you know, what else is available in the community.
I think it's important to have spoken to you this morning, also to let people know that you're there as well, you
exactly.
know, because there might be some within Athy or the surrounding areas that didn't know exactly where you were, the work that you do. So remind us then, if people want to contact you or want to visit or drop in, how do they do that?
Okay, well, we're in Woodstock Street. Obviously, if I'm in, because it's only me, we don't have, you know, I have Sybil or myself, and we do have the other facilities, but we don't have funding for someone to man the door as such. So, you know, if they want to drop in this morning, that we have the coffee morning and they could have a look. We're in Woodstock Street. We're just in front of the Methodist Church. As I said, the Methodists are very supportive landlords. Or they can ring 087-719-2139. As I said, we're very open, we're very accessible. But again, funding is the issue, as I said at the beginning. So in order to offer a full wraparound service, we do need extra money, and the HSE know how much we need, and we've put our figures out. You know, we're very transparent.
And still, do you feel as though you're just, you know, shouting into a vacuum, into an empty room? Have you had any sort of feedback to say, we hear you and we'll give you that funding?
No, we just get the same allocation every year. You know, they ask for our projected figures. We submit our projected figures and we still receive the 40K and nothing more.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll keep in touch with you, and we keep in touch with some of those politicians down in Athy as well that are trying to advocate for you as well. But I think it's been a very worthwhile discussion to have you in the programme this morning and to outline the work that you do down at Willow, which is on Woodstock Street in Athy. Willow Community Addiction Counselling Services and founder Sharon Malloy. Thanks for coming in to us, Sharon.
Thanks, Owen. Appreciate it.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, just to give out the number as well for Willow Counselling Services in Athy, again, it's 087-719-2139. And thanks again to Sharon for coming in to us. Going back to some of the messages that have come in, and this one is from Michael Bulger in Castle Dermot. He says, Dave Daly, who has been one of the turn wardens at Our Lady's Island Lake in Wexford for many years, will give a talk tonight about the conservation of terns, gulls, wildfowl and waders at Our Lady's Island Lake for the Birdwatch Ireland Carlow branch at Tinryland Parish Hall in Carlow, starting at 8 o'clock, and the talk is free of charge tonight. And thanks to Michael Bulger in Castle Dermot for texting in on that. Another one in here in relation to the Standhouse Road in Newbridge. Molly, another concerned resident of Standhouse, rang in to reiterate that the footpath is unsafe. People are avoiding going that way and are using the McLaughlin's Junction instead because they feel as though it's safer. If you missed that discussion, we were talking to John earlier, a listener out in Newbridge on the Standhouse Road, and he said the road now is too narrow because the footpath has been installed there and it's quite wide. And Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer was on with us as well to bring that to the council's attention. Let's go to Naas then, because Bob Quinn is on the line, Green Party councillor on the Naas Municipal District. Morning to you, Bob.
Hi, good morning, Owen, and happy Friday to you and all your listeners.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us then, Bob. We're looking at local issues that you've raised with the council recently, and you wanted the council to request off the Transport Minister and the National Transport Authority to prioritise funding for the Dublin Road Active Travel Scheme, essentially footpaths, walkways, cycleways, etc. on the Dublin Road.
Yeah, so we are at the point now where the Kilcullen Road Active Travel Scheme, as it's known, should be finished construction in the next few days, be open up to two-way traffic shortly, and we call it four-way traffic, in fact, because now it's not about limiting people's ability to get into town, but this scheme is expanding it because it's now much safer to come in on your bike from the Killeshea part of town and indeed go from town out to the likes of the Killeshea. It's going to serve a lot of students, for instance, on bikes, and they will be safe to do so. So this is about expanding more people's choice. But it's time now we started looking at what looks like coherent infrastructure within Naas Town. And the next obvious place to go in doing so is what's known as the Dublin Road Scheme. The Dublin Road Scheme has planning permission in place, and it will really elevate that part of town as well. Dublin Road, as we know, serves a huge kind of population from the Monreed area and everything in as far as into Naas Town as well. So I would like to see Kildare County Council get their ducks in a row, and I believe they have, which is great to see. And certainly Minister Eamon Ryan is open to funding these type of schemes. But I think we need to get explicit with the minister that we're ready to go. And what the minister wants, more so than Anton, is that if there's any construction taking place, that it's done at breakneck speed, because we don't want schemes like these going on for long, where it disrupts people's everyday lives and it can have an impact on local businesses. So the minister will want to know from Kildare County Council that they're poised and ready to go and get this scheme done and dusted quickly. So I've asked them to reach out to the minister, and myself and Senator Vincent P. Martin certainly won't be left wanting either when it comes along to lobbying the minister to get this scheme funded. Mm. And glad to see that Kildare County Council are enthusiastic to reach out to the minister and see if funding can be made available.
Right, you were looking as well, if we go from the Dublin Road Active Travel Scheme to the Kilcullen Road Active Travel Scheme, and you wanted the council to maybe host a review with stakeholders impacted by the construction there. There's been a lot of roadworks ongoing around Swans on the Green, One New Row, etc.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. The council, I'm going to say from the get-go, the council and the contractor has excelled in certain areas in rolling out this particular scheme. But at the same time, too, it would be, I suppose, naive or maybe arrogant of us to say, well, they've done a great job on every single aspect of it. So there are areas in which I believe we can learn, where, you know, lessons have been learned, where we can understand how it's affected people, how it's affected, I suppose, parents getting children to school in the morning, it's St. Corbin's in particular, and indeed people coming from the southern part of Naas trying to get down as far as the Mercy Convent and St. Mary's, perhaps, and the CBS, of course, and the impact it's had on them. But also then there's been a lot of issues in relation to local businesses facilitating and working around the construction works as well. And I have no doubt that there are positive lessons to be learned, or lessons to be learned that can lead to positive outcomes on schemes such as the Dublin Road Scheme in the future. So I've asked the council if there's any intention or desire to host this. Now, unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be capacity with Kildare County Council to do so. Mm-hmm. At the same time, too, I've had lots of representations into me in relation to areas that could have been approved, that could have been changed or altered, or taken a different way of approaching things. Mm-hmm. And I will reach out to a number of people that have been in contact with me to see if we can do something on a more of an informal basis to understand where we can learn from these, perhaps these mistakes or shortcomings over the last 14, 15 months in particular. So it's something I'm going to have to look at facilitating. Mm. I'd certainly like to work with my six other councillor colleagues on this as well. And if we could perhaps hold some sort of a public engagement and invite people to us to see, given the fact that the scheme is wrapping up now, it's still fresh in people's minds, I will be very happy to work with my councillor colleagues on this. Right. And then maybe present those findings to the council to take on board for future schemes.
I want to go to Curtistown House then, Bob, because I understand at the meeting you raised some concerns in relation to Curtistown House and concerns that residents in Johnstown might have. I want to be careful, though, to respect the privacy of those that are in Curtistown House, because a lot of them are struggling with homelessness, addiction, etc. But what generally are the concerns of people in Johnstown?
Well, so I want to start, first of all, just there's 100 beds in Curtistown House. 60 are contracted to Dublin City Council and 40 are contracted to Kildare County Council. And it's what's known as low-threshold supported temporary accommodation for homeless men that are in, obviously, a very difficult position in life. And so the welfare of the 100 men that are in Curtistown House is first and foremost my concern. And there are targeted support services that from addiction services to counselling and a whole raft of services that are to be provided to the men in Curtistown House. That's the first thing. But what's happening is not everyone is getting the support services that they require. And it's meant to be tailored individual plans, if you like, based on a person's own particular set of circumstances and needs. What's happening is for the people that may not necessarily be getting the treatment and targeted support services they require, that when it's left untreated or not adequately treated, it's now starting to spill out into the local community in Johnstown in particular, but also in Naas as well. Kurdistown House have a couple of shuttle buses, and they bring residents into the likes of Naas and Johnstown on a daily basis. And there are issues now impacting on the local community. There are a number of issues that have taken place in Johnstown. We see those issues now spilling into Naas as well. This is something that needs managing. And the managing seems to be a more of a hands-off approach right now.
Okay, what responsibility does Kildare County Council have here?
Kildare County Council have a service level agreement in place with the Peter McVerry Trust, who runs Kurdistown House. So they have placed that responsibility predominantly on the Peter McVerry Trust. But the Peter McVerry Trust doesn't seem to be able to provide the depth of services required. So this is something that needs to be addressed. I would like to see some sort of an emergency response forum set up, managed by Kildare County Council with community reps, paramedics, Gardaí, public representatives involved, because these issues are becoming more and more common as the days and weeks and months progress. Kurdistown House, run by the Peter McVerry Trust, was set up, I believe, in October 2018. I don't believe any question or motion has been put on a formal Naas Municipal District meeting agenda in all that time. I brought a question to Tuesday's meeting. I've gotten a formal response from the council. I hope this will initiate and open up a managed response across the board with a number of impacted parties, for want of a better term. But back to my original position, there's 100 men and their welfare is paramount in the first instance. But it's now starting to spill out into the local community of Johnstown and indeed Naas. Right. And this is an issue that needs managing in the first instance.
And what did the council say back to you?
The council said essentially that the support services are being provided, and I'm not convinced of their answer. So it's the type of thing that I had a tour. I got to view Kurdistown House. I spent 90 minutes out there 2 weeks ago. I met with three senior members of the Peter McVerry Trust. And I'm not convinced that what's contained in the service level agreement is what's being implemented in reality. So the council's response is notice, but I think we need to go further and deeper than what's been provided.
All right, finally then, Bob, out to Salins we go, where you wanted Kildare County Council to take an opportunity to promote and use Castle Fen Estate in Salins as an exemplar of best practice of a voluntary residents association working with the local authority, etc. And we spoke to John McLaughlin on the programme only a couple of weeks ago, and there is great work being done there in Castle Fen, a social housing estate, but good work being done.
Great work being done. The reason why I brought this to the meeting on Tuesday is I lived in Salins for 4 years, but Castle Fen, when I lived there, was an entirely different position to what it is today. So I have gotten a guided tour off the estate, for want of a better term, with John and some of his resident association colleagues out there, and indeed with Kildare County Council's community liaison rep as well. What's happening in Castle Fen is absolutely extraordinary. This is nothing other than a good news story and a great one to have on Friday morning, because I would implore anyone listening where they're concerned about maybe the estate they live in and from antisocial behaviour to issues like that, and indeed fostering an atmosphere of one for all and all for one community spirit, Castle Fen has turned itself around. It has turned itself around in an amazing way, certainly being facilitated by Kildare County Council. But Kildare County Council's approach to Castle Fen would go no further if there wasn't a willingness and enthusiasm by the residents of this particular estate to actually embrace what KCC is providing by way of funding, finances, support, etc. So what I would like to see is Castle Fen's methodology, if you like, bottled and brought into other states. throughout the Naas Municipal District and throughout Kildare County, because what they've done in turning it around from a place that was littered with antisocial behaviour and issues like that, it's been extraordinary, Owen, and I think they need to be commended in how they've approached this.
Okay.
It's, you know, fantastic.
All right, listen, we'll have to leave it there. Just tight for time this morning, Bob, but appreciate you taking the time to come to us on the programme this morning. And I know that some councillors as well are going to Naas General Hospital because Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, is going to be at Naas General Hospital later today. That's Green Party councillor Bob Quinn. Thanks, Bob. I want to open up the competition lines this morning then. We have our final two pairs of choice tickets to give away for the Punchestown Festival, which starts on Tuesday the 30th of April, runs up until Saturday the 4th of May. And just to let you know as well that Tuesdays and Wednesday of this year, there's going to be an earlier start time at Punchestown at 2:30. You can get more details on the Punchestown website. Choice tickets allow the holder to attend on any one of the first 3 days of Punchestown. We're going to change the word this morning. I see some of you have already texted in the word Punchestown, but hang on a second, you may do it again. Ah, feckum. Why is he after doing that? Well, here we go. Here's what we're doing. Text the word racing, followed by your name and where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. Your name, email address and all of that. See, we'll catch some of you out just to make sure you're awake on this Friday morning. Martin Osborne with me in studio because, Martin, there was news yesterday that we heard. The Competition Consumer Protection Commissioner, the CCPC, is to open an in-depth investigation into Maxol's deal to purchase Naas Fuels service stations. What's happening here, Martin? Bring us up to date.
Yeah, and so basically what you said there, the investigation will scrutinise the potential impact of the deal on competition levels among service stations and its implications for consumers. So the CCPC has announced plans to conduct a thorough investigation into Maxol's proposed acquisition of Naas Fuels, which operates 7 Circle K branded stations in the Leinster region. The CCPC mandated to safeguard competition assesses mergers and acquisitions to ensure competitive markets that encourage fair pricing and product service quality improvements. So obviously this would be of interest to people because of fuel prices going up or down even. So Maxol, a seller of oil and petroleum products, owns a network of 243 Maxol branded retail motor fuel service stations across Ireland, while Naas Fuels operates 7 Circle K branded stations. So the proposed acquisition was notified to the CCPC in December 2023 and it prompted a preliminary investigation, resulting in the decision for an in-depth inquiry to ascertain if the purchase could reduce competition in the state. And now, the certain mergers and acquisitions may reduce competition in the market, for example by creating or strengthening a dominant player. The CCPC said that this is likely to harm consumers through higher prices, reduced choice or less innovation. They went on to say that the work undertaken by them during a merger investigation varies, however it may include in-depth economic analysis of the affected markets, market research and consultations with suppliers. So it's definitely something for us to keep our eye on, just in terms of monopolies and yeah, just potential takeover there of Naas Fuels.
Indeed. You can read more on our website, kfmradio.com. Thanks for that, Martin. And as soon as we get more on that, we'll bring it to you.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, it's a busy weekend on the local GAA scene with the Kildare footballers and hurlers both getting their respective championship campaigns underway. The hurlers against Sligo tomorrow and the footballers against Wicklow on Sunday. We'll chat about the hurlers in a moment, but Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader sports editor, is with us. And Tommy, all eyes are on MW Hire, Laois Hire, O'Moore Park in Portlaoise on Sunday, 1:45, Kildare against Wicklow. And Wicklow surprising a lot of people last weekend, beating Westmeath, and they could be a potential banana skin for Kildare now in the Leinster quarter final.
Well, it's it could always be a potential banana skin. Yeah, it was a big shock. It was a big shock last Sunday. I don't think many people saw it coming. I wouldn't say Kildare saw it coming. I said they were getting well prepared for Westmeath, and it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that Westmeath had one eye on Kildare as well. One other thing, I thought it was tough on Westmeath. It was the fourth weekend in a row to be out. But one of the other things that happened that you didn't see much comment about was the fact that there was a hell of a breeze, there was a wind, a gale force wind practically, that day. Westmeath won the toss and elected to play against the wind, something that just I could never understand any team doing. And as it turned out, as Oisín McConville, the Wicklow manager, admitted after the match, that the wind actually died down somewhat in the second half. So, I mean, it's there's a lesson there. As regards the match itself, listen, if you said at the start of the year that we had to beat Wicklow to get into a Leinster semi-final, you'd grab it with two hands, and that's been not far from being disrespectful to Wicklow. But that's the truth of the matter. Even after Kildare winning or losing seven league matches in a row, Wicklow have lost six of their seven matches. The only team to beat before last week was Limerick, and that was by 1 point. As regards the team was announced, you probably saw the team this morning on a couple of lads are back after injury, which is great to see. Really great to see Kevin Flynn is back and Niall Kelly is back, a few more lads back in the on the subs bench. Overall, it's a fairly strong team. One or two lads probably a little bit unlucky that didn't get in, but having said that, I think myself, looking at the team, that most of the lads are there and are there on merit.
Yeah, that team is Mark Donlan of Maynooth in goals. Fullback line, Ryan Burke, Cara, Shea Ryan, Sarsfields, Mick O'Grady, Selbridge. Halfback line, Jack Sargent, Eadstown, Owen Doyle, Nace, Paddy McDermott, Nace, Aaron Masterson of Moorfield, Kevin Flynn of Selbridge in centre field, Alex Byrne, Nace, Niall Kelly, Athy, Shane Farrell, Kilcock. The half forward line, Kevin Feely, Athy, Derek Kerwin, Nace, and Daniel Flynn, Johnstown Bridge, the full forward line. The subs then, Didier Cordoni, Tony Archibald, Brian Byrne, Ryan Houlihan, Barry Kelly, Luke Killian, Sam McCormack, Aaron O'Neill, Harry O'Neill, Shane O'Sullivan and Paddy Woodgate. It comes down as well though, Tommy, does it not, to confidence and how this Kildare team and management and even the fans can turn around what's been a dismal league campaign and look with positivity and a bit of confidence into the Leinster Championship now.
It does. Has been a shocking league campaign. A horrendous league campaign, no matter what way you can dress it up any way you like. Seven defeats. At no stage could you say Kildare, possibly against Cork, they were leading by, I think, 5 points before half time, within leading by a point. And it was like inside in that dressing room, like there were 6 points behind. And that's just the confidence. It's a lack of confidence. A lot will depend on the attitude and the game plan, in my opinion, before this game. If Kildare go out and play the same type of football they have played in their seven league matches, they could be in trouble, in my opinion. They have to go out, they have to attack, they have to, this going across the field sideways and backways, they'll do that and Wicklow will sit back all day long and they will cause Kildare all sorts of problems. Kildare are not the best team in the world for breaking down packed defences. And I think they have the firepower up front. I mean, the full forward in Kevin Feeney, Derek Kerwin and Daniel Flynn, get the ball into them boys and they will do the business. But you have to get the ball in. You have to get the ball in fast. You have to move the ball fast. And I presume at this stage Kildare have learned their lesson. And while you have to respect Wicklow, they're there on merit. They were probably just about the better team against Westmeath. But if Kildare it's an opportunity for Kildare to book a semi-final place in the Leinster Championship, and I think they're more than capable of doing that and doing it comfortably, but providing they go about it the right way.
Let's not forget as well, Tommy, this is the final roll of the dice for Kildare to play in the All-Ireland series this year, or else it's the Tailteann Cup. They have to reach the final of Leinster or else they'll be playing in the Tailteann Cup, and we don't want to be there.
No, absolutely not. That's the tournament or the competition that was brought in for the so-called lesser teams. And if anybody that's in the Tailteann Cup, they're in there because of a reason. And it's not by accident to get into the Tailteann Cup. You're in there because that's the level you're at. And that's, we are like the team that Kildare are above that level. So you can't look beyond next Sunday, but they have to win next Sunday. If not, they're in that top of the Tailteann Cup, and nobody wants that. Players, management, supporters. It'll do no good for Kildare football to get into the Tailteann Cup, and hopefully Sunday will be one step closer to getting to the Leinster final. And we certainly can't look beyond next Sunday. Get over Wicklow and then we'll see what happens.
Let's hear from the manager, Glenn Ryan.
We developed a mentality of not looking beyond the next game throughout the league, because specific areas within after each game that we felt we really needed to hone in on and focus on for the following game. And that's, I suppose, the way we've continued. And last Sunday is certainly a lesson for anybody who looks beyond and planning beyond what's there in front of you. We didn't prepare beyond Westmead or Wicklow. This week we're preparing for Wicklow, and that's as far as we've looked.
Yeah, it throws in at 1:45 on Sunday. Full commentary on KFM, as always, in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. The hurlers are out tomorrow, Tommy. Kind of a similar situation in that the hurlers are going into this game overwhelming favourites against Sligo, not only for this match, but for the Christy Ring Cup in general. You'd be expecting and certainly hoping that Kildare will go back up to Joe McDonagh, but you can't look past the game tomorrow.
Absolutely, absolutely correct, Owen. They will be, they're firm favourites, as you say, not just to win Sunday or to win tomorrow, but the firm favourites to go all the way and win the Christy Ring Cup. Something they've done a good few times in recent years. But again, the Christy Ring has to be a stepping stone for the likes of Kildare to get back up, at least into the John McDonagh. Last year, they had a good league last year. Played very well the whole way through. Possibly peaked a bit early. Or beaten in the final by Offaly, and then the season kind of fell asunder on them. The difference there, I feel, again, hindsight's a great thing, but Kildare, probably the number one intention at the start of last year was to retain their Division 2A status. That they did, but they probably took their eye a little bit off the John McDonagh, and then when John McDonagh came, they just weren't able to regenerate themselves and to refocus. Because there's a huge difference when you go into that level of competition. It might be a so-called Tier 2, but there's a huge difference between the Joe McDonagh and the Christy Ring. And look, they're going in. They have a new manager. They have a decent team. They have a strong team pick. And I'd expect them to win and to win comfortably tomorrow.
Yeah, the league campaign was kind of topsy-turvy for the hurlers, Tommy. They didn't start out very well. They finished it decently enough. And as you say, that team has been named. Paddy McKenna is in goals. Keane Shanahan of Clane, full-back line, along with Sean Christensen of Clane and Mark Grace Coyle Dove, half-back line. Simon Lacey Nace, Conan Boren Nace, Rian Boren Nace. Then you have Colin McCabe Maynooth and Paul Dolan of Aero Curraquil, centre-field. Dara Geeran Nace, James Burke Nace, and Cahill Dowling Nace, half forward line, along with the full forward line, Murish Curtin Moorfield, Jack Sheridan Nace, and David Qualter Maynooth. A lot of Nace lads back on that team, and it's quite a strong starting 15, Tommy.
It is a strong starting 15, there's no doubt in the world about that. And Jack Sheridan, of course, will be the main man there again. He's enjoying a marvellous season after missing out last year. And he's the difference, but they've already shown Jack was out injured there for a match, and they were still able to get over the line. And now with him back fully fit again, and you have the likes of David Qualter there, you have James Buck lining up at centre forward, Colin McCabe, who's well able to take three as well at midfield, along with Paul Dolan. You have the Bourne boys, and one of the real top players on that Kildare team the whole way through, apart from Paddy McKenna in the goal. I often think it's Simon Lacey. He's, I don't even know what number five, whether that's his best position or not, that's open to question. But great player, and I really think it could be a really good start for Kildare tomorrow. Get over Sligo and then kick on after that.
Yeah, throws in at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow we'll have live updates with Seamus Dillon. We also want to say the very best of luck to the Kildare under 20 hurlers. They play Carlow this evening at 7:30 in Hawkfield, and the minor footballers are in action against Louth as well tomorrow. So thanks to Leinster Leader sports editor Tommy Callaghan, and we'll be looking ahead to all of those games and the rest of the sporting action: football, soccer, rugby, horse racing, and everything in between on the Kildare Sports Preview Show this evening from 6:30. The winners of our choice tickets for Punchestown this morning: we've a pair of choice tickets for Aisling Giltrap in Blessington. Well done to you, Aisling. And Matt Grogan in Allen Wood. So we'll be in touch with both of you after the programme to let you know what way the tickets will be sent out to you.